All right, let's open our Bibles now to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. The purpose of this message tonight is fourfold. Number one, I wish to set forth what the Scriptures declare about believers' relationship to one another as members of the Lord's church, which is His body. The believers' relationship to one another in the Lord's church. And secondly, I hope to show the value and importance to the church and to the ministry and to one another of every believer, every true believer, the value and importance of each one. And thirdly, I wish to encourage initiative and service to the Lord and to His church on the part of every believer. We have a ministry. Every believer has a ministry in the Lord's body. And fourthly, and there are two parts to this fourth purpose, to give our Lord all the praise for each one. You know, Paul said, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. I thank God for you. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. But it's also to cause us to be thankful to and for one another. I thank the Lord for you, and I thank Him that He has brought us to be one in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for each one, to and for each one. Also, I might add, to promote the spirit of love and unity in the body of Christ, that there be no division. All right, chapter 12, let's look at each verse as God gives us some leadership and His spirit of understanding. Paul says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, in this early church at Corinth, the Lord had given some great and unusual gifts, as He did to the apostles. He gave the apostles these gifts, unusual supernatural gifts. He gave these gifts to the apostles and also to some of the brethren in the church there at Corinth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning with verse 3. Hebrews 2, verse 3. Hebrews 2, 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, by these apostles that saw Him and heard Him. As John said, I saw Him, I heard Him, and touched Him. God also bearing them witness. He bore them witness, their ministry. You see, these apostles went forth to preach to a hostile, antagonistic world, Jew and Gentile. They didn't have the New Testament. They went forth to declare in Christ the fulfillment of all Old Testament promises and prophecies and pictures and types. And when they went forth, they said, God sent us. How do we know God sent you men? You're preaching contrary to the Pharisees and contrary to the Sadducees and contrary to the tradition of the fathers and the customs of the fathers. How do we know? God gave them magnificent, unusual, supernatural gifts to speak in other languages they had not learned, to lay hands on the sick and they recovered, even to raise the dead, to perform great and wonderful miracles. He gave them words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment of spirits. He even spoke to them as they wrote the words I'm reading to you now, supernaturally. He gave these men gifts. And these gifts were also given to some of the members of the church. Now let's read here, Hebrews 2, verse 3. God, verse 4, God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts, supernatural gifts, unusual gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Now one other scripture, Mark 16. Mark 16. Now these, they're gifts in the church today, as I'll show you in a few moments. Unusual and supernatural, God-given gifts, but not to this extent. And for that matter, we don't need them. We have the completed Word. We have the whole New Testament. I don't need to prove to you by some miracle that God sent me to preach. All I have to do is preach what God says. That's all. But now, when Paul stood to preach, or John or James or these men, they couldn't say, turn to the book of Philippians, turn to the book of Galatians, turn to the book of Mark. They wrote these books. And when they go in new places, preaching Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. People listened to them because they spoke their language. Unusually so. Now, Mark 16. And Christ said this to the apostles. And this, I'd be foolish to try to put it in practice today to this extent. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, see what I'm saying? Signs. He bore them witness with unusual different signs. They were a sign of what? Sign that these men came from God, that they spoke for God, that what they were saying was true. Signs. We don't need signs. We have the Word. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, new languages, not gibberish, new languages. They'll take up serpents. That doesn't mean to try to prove your faith by handling a rattlesnake. Paul, on that island, put his hand to pick up a piece of wood for the fire, and a snake, powerfully poisonous snake, latched onto his hand. And he shook it off in the fire. And these pagan fellas stood around waiting on him to die. One of those snakes that they talk about in Mexico, you know. And he didn't die. And they stood back and said, he's a god. But they heard him preach. They listened to him preach. God gave this sign. Don't you try it. That's foolish. In my name, and if they drink any deadly thing. And yet Paul wouldn't stand and take poison and drink it to show off. He wouldn't do that. If they do drink any deadly thing, say they were poisoned by someone or got deadly water in a certain pagan island or something, it'll not hurt them. And they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And those are the signs. And some of the people in this church, before the completion of God's Word, had these gifts. And some were discouraged because they didn't have them. All didn't have them. You know, John the Baptist never worked a miracle. Not one. Not one. And some of the people in this early church here at Corinth were discouraged because they didn't have these gifts. And some of them, unfortunately, because they were human beings, they were elated and puffed up because they did have the gifts. And some people abused the gifts and misused the gifts. And this caused strife and division among them. And what Paul is saying here, I'm writing concerning these spiritual gifts in order that you might not be ignorant. All right, verse 2. Now you know you were Gentiles, and Corinth, that's a Gentile city. City of philosophers and a city of human wisdom and a city of pagan idols. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols as you were led. In other words, he's saying this. If any of us have any knowledge of God, if any of us have any ability, God-given ability, if any of us have a gift, we have nothing of which to boast. We have no reason to be boastful or proud, for when God found us, we were nothing but heathen, pagan, idol worshippers. We were worshiping dumb idols when the Lord came and saved us and called us and revealed Christ to us. So what we are, what we have, should never lead to boasting or pride. Because what we are, he made us, and what we know, he taught us, and what we have, he gave us. That's what he said in verse 2. You got nothing to be proud of. You folks that have the gift to preach or speak in other languages or lay hands on the sick, you were just a Gentile worshiping a dumb idol when God found you. Wherefore, verse 3, I give you to understand this, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, every believer, whether he's exceptionally gifted or not gifted at all, every believer has the Holy Spirit. I hear preachers talk about today coming forward and laying hands on you and you receive the Holy Spirit. My friends, what Paul is saying here, it's the Holy Spirit who regenerated us. It's the Holy Spirit who quickened us. It's the Holy Spirit who called us. It's the Holy Spirit who revealed Christ to us. And a man who does not know Jesus Christ does not have the Holy Spirit. Nor can a man know Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. A man can't call Jesus Christ Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the church and you call Christ Lord and Redeemer, blessed Redeemer and Master, because the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So let that be established clearly. Every person who knows God has the Spirit of God. All right, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, he's saying in the church, there are different gifts. There are different talents. There are different abilities. There's different understanding. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost who gives us anything spiritually that we have. All of us have the heavenly gifts in Christ Jesus. We have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But on this earth, there are different gifts given in the church. But it's the same Holy Spirit that gives those gifts. Now look at verse 5. And in the church, there are differences of administration or different ministries. Different ways that men and women serve the Master. There are different gifts, talents, abilities, and their different ministries in the use of those gifts and talents and abilities. But it's the same Lord. In other words, it's the same Lord whom everyone serves, whatever they do. Whether we take care of the building, take care of the bookstore, take care of the office, take care of the tape room, preach the gospel, give, serve the lunches, whatever we do, pray for one another, greet one another at the door, exhort one another, sing specials, whatever we do, they're different gifts. But it's the same Spirit who gives them, and they're different ministries, but it's the same Master we're serving. Whatever we do it for the glory of God. When you gave your offering today, God gave you the gift to give. God gave you the power to share. When you led us in prayer, what a blessed prayer. God gave you that prayer for us to Him. You see, it's the same Lord. We're not serving ourselves. We preach Christ. We're not serving ourselves or seeking vain glory. Look at verse 6. And there are differences of operations. Now, what does that mean, operations? In other words, there are different effects. There are different accomplishments. There are different purposes served. There are different results. There are different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit gifted each one. There are different ministries, but it's the same Master that we serve. And God takes whatever we do and whatever we give and accomplishes His purpose. There are different purposes, different administrations, and different purposes served. But look at this. But it's the same God who is working all and in all. It's the same sovereign God who uses us when He will, where He will, and for whatever purpose He will. That's important. You see those three things. They're different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit that gave to me or to you out there, each one in the body of Christ, what we have. It's the same Spirit. And they're different ministries. There are different ways that God uses us, but it's the same God we serve. Whether we do little or much, whether we do it often or once in a while, we're serving the same Master. And God will raise up a man and use him at whatever time for whatever purpose God's pleased to use him. Now look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. What he's saying here is what God does with this message tonight. What God does with that song. What God does with that scripture and prayer. What God does with these gifts. What God does with conversation you have before this service, after this service. What God does with that discussion we had with the men. What God does with your reading. What God does is for the profit of His church. Not for my personal profit. The prophet with all. I wish we could get hold of that. That it's the most insignificant word that's spoken in the name of Christ, under the spirit of leadership of God's Spirit, for God's glory, He'll take and accomplish the most unusual thing. If we could get up in the morning and wonder what God's going to do today. We may not find out for 10 years, but just wonder what He's going to do today. What He'll do with that word you spoke, or that scripture you used, or that service we had, or that encounter you had with someone. God is in everything. I believe that, in everything. He's in everything. He's in everything, especially where His people are concerned. Because all these things work together for our good. And it's for the profit of the whole body of Christ. All right. Now, verse 8 through 10, he talks about, I hear people call them the nine gifts. And there are folks today who are trying to reenact these. And these unusual supernatural gifts were present in those early days. And I'll show you in a moment, they're present today to some extent. But these are the gifts he's talking about that they had in that early church. He said, for to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another, now notice, it seems like no man had them all. Or even maybe no man had two or three of them. Maybe Paul did, these special apostles. But what he's saying is they're different gifts. They're different ministries. They're different accomplishment. But to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Like Paul could stand on that deck of that ship and say, this boat is going down, but not one life will be lost. And nobody else knew that. And he knew it because God gave him that word of knowledge. And to another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy declaring things that will come to pass. Read Thessalonians, how Paul prophesied of events that will take place in the future. He even told things that were going to happen then. To another, discerning of spirits. You remember when Paul cast out some demons, and then these sons of Sceva came along, and they found a fellow that was demon-possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And the demons came out, but they lit on those fellows and whipped them and ran them out of the house naked. And the demons said to them, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but we don't know you fellows. So be careful, you know, about things like this, the casting out of demons. And to another, it says here, prophecy, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of languages, tongues, different kinds. Every time the word tongue is used in the Bible, it means one of two things. This organ in my mouth and in your mouth, that's a tongue. And the other is a discernible, understandable language spoken by somebody. I guarantee you that's the truth. It never refers to some fella standing off here in the corner with his eyes rolled back in his head, carrying on some kind of foolish talk. No, sir. And don't ever be taken up into that. Don't do it. I warn you. To another, interpretation of tongues. In other words, a man spoke in another language and there were people present there that didn't know that language, he'd interpret. And he could interpret a language he never learned. That's the gift. All right, you say, preacher, well, how do you say that these things are present in 13th Street Baptist Church, in the body of Christ today? Well, first there's a spirit of wisdom in his church. And that's accomplished by the Spirit of God and experience and years and knowledge of the Scripture. There's wisdom here. Is wisdom in many of you. God's given you some unusual wisdom. And we'd do well to seek that wisdom. Seek your counsel. There's the word of knowledge. There's people here who know the Scriptures, taught by God. They know the mysteries of the gospel. They have a knowledge of the ways and will of God. I believe I can be a great help to young pastors. I've been a pastor a long time. And by God's knowledge and wisdom and experience, I can be helpful if they'll let me, you know. There's a word of knowledge. And there's little faith and great faith. All have faith, but do not have faith in the same measure. You know, there are those who are shy and there are those who are reluctant to undertake. Young minister friend of mine is undertaking a large project, and he talks to me frequently, and he says, I believe that this can be done, but I have some friends and close loved ones who don't believe it can be done. Well, see, that's faith. God's given this young man faith. And that's present here. There are those who believe it can be done. Others believe it can be done to an extent, you know. And then they're healers. I tell you, when you make peace, you're healing. There are those with a gift to keep the unity, keep the direction, keep the peace of the body. Healing. That goes deeper than just physical maladies, doesn't it? You heal someone's emotions or someone's
difficulties. And there are miracles of His grace every day. And there's the gift to prophesy. There's the gift to preach. There's some of these men in this church, 10 years ago, they couldn't do what they're doing now. They'd had a hard enough time standing here, let alone speaking. But they had, God's given them a gift to teach, to preach, to pray, to expound the Scriptures, to say, "Thus saith the Lord." There's the gift to discern spirits and attitudes. Doctrines taught. You know, a lot of people can hear a preacher, and I don't see anything wrong with what he's saying. And here's a man with discernment. He can say, "I see something. I know where he's going. I know what he's saying." That's the reason God gives us pastors with discernment. I know what can happen. I know what there this leads. You want to avoid this and so forth. There's discernment. There are men who can preach in other languages. Don't you believe that Bill Clark's ability to speak in French is a gift of God? Don't you believe that Walter Gruber and Milton Howard's ability to speak in Spanish is the gift of God? I know that it is. I know that it is. We were down there preaching in Mexico in January, and Milton is so fluent and so good in Spanish, they think he's a Mexican. And one fellow came up to him and said, "Where are you from?" Milton said, "Tuxtla." He said, "You speak English real well." That's the gift of God. These Iranian doctors around here can't speak English very well. But that man is, and Bill Clark, when he went to France, God gave him the ability to speak in French so excellently that the people thought he was a Frenchman. And they listened to him. They thought he was one of them. And I might add, there are people here who are blessed with the ability to give. God's given you a good job. God's given you a good income. Why do you think He gave that to you? So you could spend it on yourself and lavish in the lap of luxury? No, He gave it to you so you could give, so you could help. There are those who have mechanical ability. There are those who show hospitality. There are those who can cook, care for the body. There are those who can comfort and minister to the sick. We've got a church full of school teachers that teach our young people, that show, set an example. That's a ministry. We've got, I don't know how many nurses in this church, 9 or 10, I reckon, who minister. Like one patient told me recently how special it was when she came out of surgery and looked up into the face of one of our young ladies here at the church who was her nurse. It felt so good to know somebody, have somebody's hand on you that you knew and loved. You see, there's ministries. There are those who encourage others. There are those who write to others. There are those cards you send, those letters. In other words, they're gifts in so many, many, many ways. But verse 11, "And all of these worketh that one and self-same Spirit." All of these services and gifts and abilities are inspired and given and used by that same Holy Spirit who gives to every man severally as He will. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. Let me be thankful for what I am. Let me be thankful for what I have. Let me be thankful for the open doors. Let me be thankful for the ministry God's given me, because what I am is by the grace of God. And Spurgeon used to say this: "Let's all remember our gifts are borrowed." You said that. And He can take them back just as quickly as He gave them. Let's don't give Him cause to do so. That's right. He can take them back just as quickly. He did in that parable, didn't He? He gave those different talents, Cecil, and one fella, he took the one he had, he took it back and gave it to the fella that had a lot, left him without anything, because he wouldn't use it. Verse 12, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so is Christ. Now, what's he talking about here? He's saying a person's natural body. You're looking up here at a natural body. It has many members. Fingers, thumbs, feet and toes, ears, eyes, mouth, tongue, heart, lungs, kidneys, all of these things. A body's many members. Many members. And all the members of that body being many are still just one body. There's just one body up here. So also is Christ's body, the church. One body. Read on that. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This body, all of it is one body. And this body of Christ, the church, by the Spirit of God, calling out his people, has immersed them and brought them into one body in Christ Jesus. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we be old or young, whether we be male or female, whomever. And we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body's not one member. Verse 14, but many. Now here's where some of the problems came along. Look at verse 15. Now, suppose the foot would say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. If my hands are so visible, and they're so useful, and they bring me water, they bring me food, they comb my hair, they shave my face, they reach out and shake hands. My feet really are not as conspicuous. They're not used nearly as much. They're not as active. So suppose my foot says, well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not worth anything. Oh, yes, you are. You see what he's saying? I don't have the gifts this man has. I'm not as visible. I'm not as well known. I'm not as seemingly, he thinks, as useful. I'm sure thankful for my feet. You don't see them, but I'm using them right now. I'd miss just one little toe. Old Dizzy Dean back in 1930s hurt his big toe and it ended his career. That's right. If they hit him in the head, it wouldn't have ended his career, but his big toe, that ended his career. It says here, and if the foot shall say, well, I'm not the hand, then I'm not of the body. Is it not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Suppose, listen to verse 17, the whole body was an eye. Suppose, you know, everybody was a preacher. Where would be the hearers? Suppose everybody was a teacher, where would be the learners? Suppose everybody was an organist, where would be the singers? Suppose every believer was an elder, where would be the cooks? You elders can't cook. Suppose every believer was a father, where would be the mothers? Suppose every believer was a missionary, where would be the supporters? Suppose every believer was young, where would be the leader's experience? Can you not see the way God has constituted the body of Christ? Each person from the oldest to the youngest. Husband, wife, children, pastor, people, elders, whatever, singers, prayers, givers, friends, companions. Every believer, every part of the body. Look at verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them, every what? Every one of them. Every one. That's an important word there, isn't it? Isn't it, Bob? Every one. these children here. I just hate to see that seat vacant right there. Or that one right there. Every one. As it in the body as it pleased him. Now, and if they were all one member, you wouldn't even have a body. You know where beauty is? Proportion. You know where real success and accomplishment is? Working together. That's where it is. Working together. That's the way a body moves, even when you're walking. See, every member, every part of that body is contributing to that step. Though just one part seen, the legs. But yet the mind had to tell them which way to go. And then the ears and the eyes are the guards that tell them to watch out for this or that. Every act of the body is an act of the body. That's what he's saying. Where would be the body? But verse 20, but now are they many members and yet just one body, one church. In verse 21, now here's where some more problems came. You remember I told you some of them had extremely extraordinary gifts, and some didn't. And these that didn't, the foot shall say, well, I'm not the hand, then I'm not of the body. Or the ear shall say, well, I'm not the eye, then I'm not of the body. But now be careful, eye, that you don't look down upon the foot. See, well, watch this now. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. I'd like to see that eye pick up that glass of water. My thirst wants the water. My eye sees where it is. But old Mr. Hand going to have to pick it up. That's right. I can't say to the hand, I don't need thee. I'd like to see the eye scratch when you itch, wouldn't you? And again, the head say to the foot, I don't need you. Nay. Much more. Now watch this. Much more. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or less visible. The word feeble there is not without strength. It is less visible or necessary. Nobody here has seen my lungs, nor have I. I'm sure thankful for them. My kidneys. And I'll tell you really the most important member of the whole body. The heart. And that's what you read, the heart. Nobody ever talks about it. And yet it's so necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. My face is out in the open, my hands are, but I've clothed this body. And we clothe it. You try to do it attractively. You try to do it in such a way that it might have much comeliness and beauty. And that's what he's saying here. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, we need to shower a lot of attention and affection and grace and kindness upon those that are less visible. Isn't that right? Less visible. Actually, those parts of the body which are not so visible, which are not seen by the public, are very important, and we're careful to clothe them and care for them. So let the church render great honor, great love, and great kindness to those who are less visible. Show attention and kindness. For verse 24, our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should, now watch this, that there should be no divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Same love. for everybody. And now watch this. And when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member, one little vertebrae. Know about that, don't you? One little carried broken finger. And the whole body. When this hand hurts, this one does too. It does, every member of the body. When one member suffers, every member suffers. That's right. It just goes through the whole body. That's where the church is. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you're the body of Christ. And your members in particular, every one of you. And God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts, healing, helps, leadership, government, diversities of language. Is everybody an apostle?
No.
Is everybody a prophet?
No.
Is everybody a teacher?
Nope.
All workers of miracles?
Nope.
Do all have the gift of healing?
Nope.
Do all speak with tongues?
Nope.
Do all interpret?
Nope.
Everybody has his own particular gift and talent. I say just being you is a gift. You're unique and unusual. Your personality, your contribution, your service, your ministry to Christ is most unique and unusual. No one can take your place. And he says in verse 31, and covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet to be a better teacher, a better preacher, a better singer, a better servant, to give more of myself. And like I said, this message is to promote initiative. Well, I'm not worth anything. Oh, yes, you are. My Lord died for you. You make up his jewels. You're worth everything. And covet the best gifts. But I'm going to show you something better than gifts. And this is a gift of God. And this is the work of God. And see, that chapter division ought not even be there. He's talking about these, the body and the gifts. He said, I'm going to show you something that's more important than all of these gifts. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, speak in other languages, and have not love, well, I'm a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. It's a useless gonging sound. It's a nerve-wracking to the ears to hear someone speak who does not love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, preaching, and understand the mysteries, and have all knowledge, and have faith so that I could remove mountains, and I don't love God and love people, love his grace, I am nothing. Gifts don't make you what you are. Christ does. We're not trying to show off gifts. We're trying to preach Christ. I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, I'm a giver. I'm a encourager. I'm a builder. And though I give my body to be burned, I stand for the truth. I'll die at a stake. And don't have love, it'll profit me nothing. So, love suffers long, is kind. You read it when Ronnie was reading it there. Those are the things. To love God, to love his people, to love one another. That's the cement. That's the bond that holds all of these members together. It's like the soul. I have a body here, and I am a soul. And when the soul leaves, the same body stands here, and then it falls. It's useless. And the very soul of the church is love for Christ. His love for us. Our love for him. If that leaves, burn it down. Because it's of no use. All right, Mike, come lead us in a hymn.